Pittsburgh Steelers fans, what is up? My name is Brian Anthony Davis from BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. With me today, as always, my good friend Tony DeFeo, my even greater friend Shannon White. Not saying Tony DeFeo is not a great friend, because he is actually one of my personal heroes. Actually sticks up for me when people rip on what I do here. So that's why I love Tony so much. We're like bros. And Shannon's my, I spent 9 years in West Virginia. So I love me the West Virginia way. Good man, Shannon White. How are you, gentlemen? Tony, what's going on?
Oh, I'm doing great. Despite Sunday, I'm doing great. And if you want a piece of Brian, you have to go through me first. Or Shannon. I'll take everybody on. I don't care.
You know,
at least on the internet anyway.
It's kind of like I'm building a professional wrestling stable. And that's we right. always joked about how we're the four horsemen. Well, we're the three horsemen right now. I compared myself for a long time to Ric Flair. Not that I'm great like Ric Flair, because I'm not. But Tony was always the enforcer, Arn Anderson. Who's Shannon? Is Shannon like Ole Anderson? Who'd Shannon be?
I don't know. That's a good question. He seems pretty stable and reasonable, but he also seems like somebody would just like if you cross him.
Maybe he's our Tully Blanchard.
There you go. Yeah, cerebral assassin kind of thing.
There you go. We'll just have to do three. Okay. Shannon White, how are you, my friend?
Still licking my wounds after yesterday, but hopefully the show will be a release of some frustration, and we can talk it out.
You know, that's what
it is. I need a couch.
It's like we can all hug it out from a distance here, because I'll give you guys a big hug. You know, that's what this show's all about. We talk about the hangover. There's those great hangovers like last week. That was a celebration hangover. This week is a, oh my goodness, what have I done? Who have I slept with type of thing? You know, so this is just, you know, this is a bad hangover. And we didn't get them until week 12 last season. The team was 11-0. So we didn't have to deal with that until December. So it was really different. So this week, you know, it's a reality check. And I want you to check out the Scobro show tomorrow night. They're going to be talking about this. The Steelers are who we thought they are from the beginning. But the title of this show, gentlemen, is The Steelers Hit a Pothole in the Loss to Las Vegas. But it's a long season. And so that's what we're going to discuss here tonight. As always, we always want to welcome in the very first one in the live chat. Tonight, it's our good friend from State College, Brad Jewett. He's still sad. It's okay to be sad, because Shannon said something that sparked me, and we've talked about this all along. We're a support group. All these shows are a support group. When the team loses, we celebrate. When they win, you know, that's kind of what we do. So let's look on the bright side of this loss and try to find that silver lining. But first, I want to ask you both your knee-jerk reactions from yesterday's game. So I'm going to start with Mr. Shannon White. What was the first thing you thought when Henry Ruggs pulled that ball in and you knew that this game was over?
That they were 1-1, and I thought they were going to be 1-1 after two games, but they won the game I thought they was going to lose, and they lost the game I thought they was going to win. But, you know, we're still where we thought we were going to be. They have the same issues that we thought they were going to have all along, that we warned everybody that the offense was going to take some time, take time for the line to gel, and nobody could see the injuries coming. That's the great unknown, and it played a huge role yesterday. But I was mainly frustrated because I knew that the negativity and the overreactions that was coming. There's overreactions after a victory, but it's twice as bad after a loss. So I knew that was coming, and that was my main sense of frustration.
Tony DeFeo, how about you? What was your knee-jerk reaction when Ruggs pulled it in and then there were zeros on the clock and it was all over but the crying?
It's my knee-jerk reaction is that the strength of this team is defense. And when you have five – prominent, really, defensive players, stars. I mean, your best player on your team all go out either before the game or during the game. I mean, it's hard to make up for that. I mean, the offense, it is what it is. You know, it's going to be, as Shannon said, it's going to be a struggle for quite some time. They might never truly get over the hump and be a potent offense this year because, you know, Ben's 39. The line is not what it was when it was the class of the league a few years ago. So when the defense can't carry the load, most of the load, it's going to be hard for this team to win games. So that's my knee-jerk reaction. They need this defense to be the dominant force that it's been since 2019 in order to be a true contender and or at least a competitive team. And when it's compromised like it was yesterday, it's hard to overcome.
Okay, Tony, I'm going to bring up Joey Jr., Rochester's own, because I respect this comment here. I respect what you said about the injuries, and I do have something that I'm going to say about that. But Joey Jr. wants to say this, and this was before you spoke. So this is not a reaction to what your comments and your knee-jerk reactions. But Joey said, I don't want to hear anybody talk about injuries. Look up at what Baltimore just did against the Kansas City Chiefs last night. Now, my rebuttal to that is you're absolutely correct, but I want to talk about the injuries on defense to the Steelers. They came late. And when I'm talking about them coming late, they came on the last injury report, and that was Friday.
Right.
Joe Hayden and Devin Bush Jr. came out on Friday. The game plans, everything's worked out. You had a week of practice. That's your final injury report. So when those guys are done, you don't have the opportunity to make changes. You have to do things on the fly at that point. Then in game, you lose Tyson. You lose number 94 for the season with that ankle break, which was unfortunate because I think Tyson is one of those – Alulu is one of those guys that, how do I put it this way? He's one of the unsung hearts of that defense. Mm-hmm. You mm-hmm. saw how excited that the team was when he got COVID and decided that, oh, I couldn't go to Jacksonville. Yeah. I would rather be in Pittsburgh.
And the fans too.
The fans too. So he's, and what he, when he came out on Twitter and social media thanking Pittsburgh and, you know, saying he's going to get better, but where his heart is, you know, that's fantastic. I get that. But Tyson goes out. Then Watt goes out. When they go out in game, when you lose two big important players like that in game, there's not much that you can do on that. And you can practice for, you know, knowing that you have two very good outside linebackers in Highsmith and Melvin Ingram. I think nobody's upset with that signing of Melvin Ingram. I think people love it more and more each week.
Right.
But that is set up to be a three-man rotation now.
Right.
And when that three-man rotation gets disrupted, those guys get gassed a little bit. But the thing is, we see how TJ makes players better.
Of course.
TJ makes everybody around them better. Tyson makes everybody better with what he's doing. Cam does too. Those guys, there's a certain players that make those players better. So I think when you're talking about the defense, that's really where you're at there. That's why it's really tough, because you can compare it to Baltimore, but Baltimore had time to game plan around losing those guys. So that's all I want to say on that. But now I have a question for you fellas, and I'm going to throw it to you so I don't talk way too much here. And my question is this. Do you see how important Joe Hayden is at this point? And is he probably the second or third most important guy on that defense, or maybe the most important guy on that defense? Shannon, I'll start with Tony.
Oh, threw me off there. Well, I mean, last week, did we even talk about Joe Hayden? And he was covering, wasn't he covering Stephon Diggs? And yep. And you really didn't, you talked about TJ Watt, of course, Ingram, name all that, you know, Hayward, the game that he had. I mean, you didn't mention Joe Hayden, but Stephon Diggs was a non-factor mostly last week. So it just goes to show you how important he is. and he's clearly their best cornerback, and he's right up there with Minka as far as how important he is to that secondary. So for him not to be in that game yesterday, that's huge. I mean, you had it threw everything out of whack. Yeah, Pierre played 100% of the snaps. It changed what Cam Sutton had to do. It changed what Minka Fitzpatrick had to do. It just changed so much. You had to bring in, you know, Witherspoon and these guys to play. Justin Lane had to come in. So it just changed the entire complexion of that secondary, just not having him in there. So he's definitely up there as far as important defensive players. And when he's not in there, it's a huge loss.
Shannon, how important is Joe Haden to you?
Well, he's the leader of the secondary. You know, all the guys take their cues from him. You know, he's, you know, whether he's on their best receiver or not, his knowledge of the game, he'll break on passes and break up passes, on, you know, in zone that guys that didn't even cover him. And, with him not being in there, like Tony said, it forced people into action that the Steelers didn't necessarily want to have in action or ready for prime time yet. Witherspoon being matched up with Ruggs on that go route there, you know, the long touchdown was a mismatch and a disaster waiting to happen. He's just not even familiar with our schemes yet. And Fitzpatrick took the blame for that, which is kind of like Ben taking the blame for all the offensive problems. You know, that's what your stars do. But, right. You know, again, there was just guys playing that we didn't necessarily want to see out there yet. Doesn't mean Witherspoon won't be a good player eventually for us, but, you know, that was a huge play in the game. The week before, similar situation, Josh Allen overthrew the ball. Derek Carr did not. All the good fortune that the Steelers enjoyed against the Bills, strip sack by Watt, Hayward recovers it. Yesterday, strip sack by Watt, they don't recover it. You know, there was just some very questionable calls, other things that went along. But, you know, this happens. You know, they're not going to win every game. But if you look at the records I've seen, when Haden and Bush have been out, the Steelers haven't won a game. And part of the reason, you know, if you're going to compare it to the Ravens, you'd say Haden, if the Ravens lost Humphreys at cornerback, if they lost Queen at inside linebacker, you know, that'd be the equivalent to Bush. If they lost the Cassius, or what's his name, Campbell, their best defensive interior lineman, you know, you start taking them guys off of their defense, it might have been a different game. But also, their defense wasn't that great last night. You know, their offense scored a bunch of points, and they was able to win. But it's not apples to oranges, you know, apples to apples. It's more apples to oranges with the injury front. All teams got to deal with them. But right. As you said, the way the ours happened, they didn't have time to do anything. It happened in-game, you know, or right before the game. So, yeah, but Haden is really invaluable to that secondary. Almost to the point you kind of wish they had extended him when he wanted to, but you understand why they didn't, because of his age.
Right.
Does this change things now? Are the Steelers right now? Hey, it would be a knee-jerk reaction to do so. Mm-hmm. And they'll probably let it play out the way it does, because Hayden's situation might change at the beginning of the year, but it almost makes you think, it's like, do we need to wrap up this guy? But then you say the magic number is 33 years of age, and that window shuts fast on corners.
Right.
You know, 1 year they're there, next year, boom. So, you know, that's the kind of thing you got to think about there. So, you know, once again, the name of the show is, it's a long road, but they definitely hit a pothole. But it's not time to take this car to the junkyard yet, is it, Tony?
No, but I mean, I could see where people would be frustrated, because what you're seeing with the offense, it's only two games, but it's what we've seen from them since really the second half of the Titans game last year, right before Halloween. Jeffrey Benedict mentioned that a lot last year. Something happened in that game where they figured out the Steelers and what they were doing. And it's just right now, it just doesn't feel like an offense that can do damage to any defense. I don't care what the defense is. They all look the same against them. Every defense looks dominant against this offense right now. And that's what's so frustrating about it. It's like they all figured out the way to slow them down. And the Steelers haven't been able to adjust to it going over two seasons now. And that's why it's frustrating. It is a bump in the road. And I am still confident that this team can be a contender and remain competitive in the AFC North. But, you know, sooner or later, you're going to have to make progress with this offense or it's going to be a long year.
Shannon, talk us down off the ledge right here. Give us some hope.
Well, I think there's plenty of hope. I think, again, it's overreaction. Harris is limited by the offensive line, which we knew was going to struggle early. You know, somebody was talking about how much money the Steelers have invested in the offensive line. It's half of what the Ravens has in theirs, and it's not even close to the Browns or the Chiefs. But they have a lot of youth, and, you know, it's just going to take a little bit of time. But we haven't seen really Harris and Freiermuth. They're the two new guys this year. They're the potential difference in last year's offense. Harris has caught just a few passes. He hasn't really until his touchdown yesterday on that reception. He really didn't get a one-on-one, you know, matchup in the open field. You know, by catching the ball out of the backfield. I haven't seen any crossers. I haven't seen him float through the line and catch a ball in the middle of the field, which is open. Freiermuth and Ebron isn't working the middle or the seams. You know, part of that is because of the defenses that we're seeing, but the potential's there. The execution isn't. You know, we can hold out hope that that's going to change. And I think it will. But I think a lot of times it's expectations. You know, the winning in Buffalo set unrealistic expectations for the first quarter of the season. And we're seeing it with all the comments. I mean, people just, you know, they've lost that. There is no such thing as patience. If you draft a quarterback in the first round, you're playing him within the first quarter of the season. You know, I mean, it's just a given. And, you know, the young guys can't say it anymore. And we've got four guys on offense, young guys is playing a lot. Well, five, counting Freiermuth. And so there's going to be some bumps in the road. They right. hit a puddle. They might have been a rim. I mean, you know, they might have to, you know, not just bust the tire, they might have been a rim. But, you know, it's going to be all right. You know, there's no reason to panic yet.
I'm glad you said that, Shannon, because that's something I kind of forgot about. And I kept in mind all last week. It's like they have so many young guys starting on offense, not just contributing, but starting. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to be easy right away. And you have a kind of a disconnect with Ben and these young guys, and they're trying to get on the same. You see it all the time with Big Ben and Deontay Johnson. They're not on the same page, and they're both trying to learn a new offense. So it is good to keep in mind that there are a lot of young guys on this offense that have to contribute. And if they don't have success this year, it's going to be rough. So that's a lot to put on their shoulders.
So, Tony, let me ask you this. Are the right young guys starting, especially on that offensive line?
Oh, I mean, as far as – I think everybody's excited about Kevin Dotson. There's no question there. And then Kendrick Green, you know, he might not be there yet, but you love the passion and the fire from this guy, and you saw it all day long yesterday. I mean, he knows all about the Raiders rivalry already. I mean, he was well on his way to being a main fixture in this rivalry for years to come. And Dan Moore, he played so well in the preseason. You have to like what he can do moving forward. The only one I'm concerned about is Shooks, and he's not so young anymore. I mean, he's year four. And, you know, you saw that one play with Max Crosby, he just shoved him on his back. And that the one play where Ben had to get rid of the ball. to save his life. I mean, he's Max Crosby. He's pretty good, but he's not Howie Long. And you know, Shook should be winning. He shouldn't be. First, he shouldn't look that bad. You know, maybe you get beat, but you don't look that bad against him. And he's the one I'm concerned about right now.
All right, I do have a question that I want to ask Shannon, but I want to talk about Kendrick Green a little bit more before I throw it over to Shannon on as we continue with the offensive line. I love Kendrick Green. Mm-hmm. I voiced my concern that he is going to draw some penalties with his passion and fire if it's not reined in, but that could be a problem though. So let me ask you this, Shannon, before I move on. Do we really want to rein Kendrick Green in? Or does that negate his power and his fire and his passion? But we just can't. I thought we were going to get a dumb penalty on him yesterday, and it didn't happen. It did not happen, and I was thrilled with that.
Right.
But yeah. It was close. So that's my question. Here's the thing. You neuter a dog, and you take some of the fire away.
Yeah.
I don't want to neuter Kendrick Green. Mm-mm. But I want him. I've got a dog right now, a puppy. He's crazy. He's attacking the other dogs. The little dachshunds, he's attacking them because he wants to play. Because he's got this fire and passion. And he's due for the snippy snip. But I want to be careful though. You know what I mean? I don't want to take away the heart and passion that's so great about Kendrick Green and tell him that, okay, you've got to calm down. But how do you weigh that? How do you make him continue to be that aggressive guy without doing stuff dumb?
There's a line, you know, you got to walk it. Sometimes a guy's confidence is tied into their enthusiasm. This mental mindset of playing to the whistle, I'm a warrior, you know, that first drive, I felt sorry for Green. Everybody knows his weakness is he can't anchor once he snaps that ball, because he's always been a guard. When he snaps that ball, if he's got size and, you know, across from him, he struggles to absorb that and anchor. And the Raiders number 90, I can't remember what his name was. Every time Green would snap that ball on that first drive, he was getting driven back into Ben. And I was just like, oh man, this is not good. Because, you know, you worry about him falling into Ben's legs. And you know, not just the sack, but something potentially much worse. But after that first drive, you know, he got over there on the sidelines and everything. You know, he regained his composure. He played much better after that. You can go back and watch it. The first drive was a disaster. Then he started playing better. But he also, as you said, Brian, he started playing very aggressive. I mean, you know, he was like, hey, I got to fight. I'm giving up 50 pounds to this guy. You know, and if I don't fight and I don't get a little nasty, I can't compete. So there's that line that he's going to have to walk, because he's always going to be undersized. He might gain 15, 20 pounds, you know, over the next few years and to try to hold up a little better, but he's always going to be undersized. He's going to use his explosiveness and his leverage and his athleticism. But yeah, you don't want to neuter him, as you say. You don't want to make him lose confidence, but he's just going to have to walk that line. And eventually there's going to be a penalty. Maybe there'll be offsetting penalties. Maybe there won't be any spitting involved if it ain't the Raiders. Because they definitely wanted to get that rivalry going again, and spitting on a person will definitely get that.
Yeah.
But I'm still very happy with Green. I'm impressed. And I see him learning each week through the struggles.
Now, don't get me wrong. I'm very impressed with him as well. And you mentioned the spitting, and that wasn't Kendrick Green, but I do want to talk about that. And no, Super Steel, yeah, and that was Trey Turner, but I do want to talk about that in a moment. And that ties into what Super Steelers is saying. Green is fine. Not sure why it's even a topic. The only reason it's a topic, and that you're right, because I love the guy, but I play devil's advocate sometimes, Super Steelers. And the only reason I'm bringing that up is because I've seen the live chat, I've seen fans turn on players in a hurry, and you're just about ready to turn on Trey Turner right now because he spit. Now we're hearing today that he is claiming, he is emphatically claiming that he was spit on first. So, and that's not what we're going to debate here. But what I'm saying is, when Kendrick Green, no, not when, but if there was an instance where Kendrick Green gets an aggressive penalty that is deemed dirty and cost them 15 yards and possibly the game, you will turn on him. When I say you, the fans, Steeler Nation could possibly turn on him if they want to, if they find reason to turn on him. And that's something that we've seen. When you put doubt in people's minds about a player, somebody put doubt in people's minds over Kevin Dotson in the offseason. And guess what? We found out that it was unfounded, but there's people out there that still believe it. Now, there are people. Look, Trey Turner can be absolved completely from this. All right, they could have video that that says that he was spit on first, but there's still some people that are going to say he's a spitter, he's undisciplined, he's a bum, get rid of him. And that's why I'm bringing this up. And that's the only reason. Maybe, guys, am I jumping ahead? Am I creating scenarios that might not exist? Probably. What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, the way he was reacting, I mean, the guy he spit on definitely did something. I mean, not that there's an excuse for that. I mean, he should have had a cooler head. But the other guy definitely did something to him that was pretty egregious, whether it was something he said, something he did physically, or he spit on him. Again, I'm not absolving Trey Turner, but by all accounts, if you even Mike Tomlin said this guy is a pretty calm and even keeled guy. So for him to react, I mean, he was going through everybody to get back at this guy. So something was done. And yeah, so I mean, I'm not excusing the action because it was pretty bad. But I don't think you're going to have a problem like that with this guy on a consistent basis. He's been around forever. He's a veteran, and he's an accomplished veteran. And I think he's a good veteran.
And I was the reason I brought up the spitting was not to even discuss Trey Turner, because I really like the Trey Turner signing, and he's been coming up. Here's a guy that came up under fire day two when Andrew Filippone put out a tweet that an unnamed source says that he's getting beat up in camp, and it was like day two. And yeah. So, and now that has been the narrative. And I just want to spare Kendrick Green the narrative and get labels, because there's people talking about it. That's the only reason that was brought up. Now, something I want to bring up is I want to continue to talk about the offensive line. And we're going to go to break, but we're going to answer this question when we come back. Is Ben having a problem getting started, or is it the offensive line that is bringing him down? So we're going to answer that when we come back. Also, take your questions. We'll do Q&A and have lots of fun as we get through this loss in week two together. It's Tony, it's Shannon, and it's Bad on the Steelers Hangover on BTSC Radio. We'll be back right after this.